All right, gentlemen, everybody online, we're going to go ahead and get started at 7:50. I know some folks will be joining us. We have some folks who are doing some home fellowships tonight and everything, some people watching from there. So Dan is out tonight, so you get me again, right? You've had I was here 2 weeks ago, and Elijah was here last week, and so we're giving Dan the month of November off, apparently, somehow. I don't know. He wrangled us into that, something. Just a couple of quick announcements that we have here. Let me turn this back on. All right. So wave announcements, same things we've been telling the last several weeks. Our next meeting night is going to be the 29th, right? Everybody knew that already, right? We're not meeting next week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Just to clarify, too, we will be discussing Lesson 11 next week. We did doing Lesson 9 tonight. So please continue to do Lesson 10 and 11. And Dan is lecturing when we come back, so he'll cover 10 and 11, a little bit of 10, I think, and mostly 11. So we'll talk about 11 in our groups. So if anybody wants to, you know, cover 10, then do that with your family over Thanksgiving. You know, I'm sure they'd love to hear that at the Thanksgiving table, you know. And then the other announcement is just this. This is the week you need to download your lessons if you haven't. If you don't have a book, if you have, you know, if you need to go out there and do that. And on this next slide, this is the same slide that Jose has shown us the last few weeks. But again, this is, you know, you want to would encourage you to download 10 through 13. Go ahead and do all of those. And then all the lectures will still be available, everything on YouTube there. If you get any other resources off MyBSF, I know there's some daily dives, there's some other materials out there, you can go ahead and download those as well. And then we'll send a message out, or you'll get a message from headquarters too, but Jose will guide us through that as well. When it does come out, you want to sign in pretty quick to get your password so you don't have to reset it and everything like that. So, all right, everybody good? And those are our announcements here. And we're going to go to Matthew 8. So let me pray for us. God, we just thank you for a chance to come into your house tonight. Lord, we thank you for a chance to hear your voice tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would have free reign to move in and among us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm just going to go ahead and jump into the lecture tonight. If we have time at the end, we'll sing a little song at the end tonight. So, all right, if you guys want to open up to Matthew chapter 8. We see the last three chapters, last 4 weeks, we've been talking about Jesus has been on the mountain, right? So he's been up there, he's been talking to us, and his main point is really about the kingdom of heaven, right? And so now what's going to happen, we see in chapter 8, verse 1, he came down from the mountainside with large crowds following him, and what he's going to do is he's going to show us how to live out the kingdom of heaven, right? So he's been talking about it, and now he's going to go and show us that, right? So I grew up in a Bible teaching church. And so I would say that, like, you know, my doctrine, my theology, everything that I learned was pretty in line with BSF, what we're studying and everything here. And so I had kind of a good foundation of, you know, of Bible knowledge. But where I fell short as I was growing up was I really read this as a history book. I read it as, you know, this was really good in Jesus' day, and that's kind of what happened there. But I didn't connect it with me here. You know, I'd get some good moral lessons out of it, but it wasn't like in my face, the Holy Spirit speaking to me now, today. And so, you know, my fear, or maybe you say like a pastoral concern, is that we might read these crazy, amazing miracles of Jesus and miss the fact that he wants to do these things today, right? That it applies now. And we might be like, you know, kind of like, wow, God, this is awesome. This is amazing. You know, and I want to see that on Sunday, but I'm not going to get messy and let my life live this out all the time, right? Or maybe, you know, like the end of chapter, you know, 8, verse 34, the townspeople, they saw him and they pleaded with him to leave their region, right? Maybe those crazy Jesus people that like actually live out the Jesus stuff, let's kind of push them over here, right? And so my prayer is that we would not miss the application as we go through this today, okay? And so apparently, for whatever reason, God's decided that you're going to have to get your theology and your content from Dan and Elijah and from all the notes and from the great seminary professors and pastors that do that, because once again this week he's told me that he wants me to spend a lot of time talking about application, all right? So you're going to have to listen to a few stories again. Some of you tell me you like that, and you know, some of you don't, I'm sure. So, you know, that's why there's three of us, and you get to hear from different people sometimes. So for me, I had a seven-year crazy journey. It really started in my senior year of high school. I mentioned that a couple weeks ago when we were talking about fasting and how, you know, I was just reading my Bible, and it was like it says fast. It doesn't say if you fast. It says when you fast. But I didn't know anybody who was doing that. So what I found in my life is that When you have a difficult question or you want to, you know, find out an answer to something, we've talked about this a lot, but you look at other scripture, right? And so you cross-reference, and, you know, on my best days, I'm persistent in asking God for this hidden wisdom and this treasure that he has, right? But then I find out that, you know, most of the time the answer comes in form of other scriptures and things like that. So I'm going to read a few scriptures over you, and I'm going to focus again tonight really on application of what we just read in Matthew 8. You've talked about, you read it, study in your own, you talked about it together, and we're going to work through some of this together. So some of these, you're going to respond in faith, and some of these you might think, wow, that makes me really uncomfortable. And so I pray that if you have any kind of barriers to belief, that you might be like the father who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, all right? So here we go. Ready? This is Jesus talking. All right. He says in John 14:12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, I think that's most of us, hopefully all of us, will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. He says, the works in chapter 8, you're going to do these things? Yes. And you're going to do even greater things. Wow. That's crazy. What about Luke chapter 9? It says, Jesus gave them power and authority. That's going to be in our big idea tonight, the word authority. Authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. Luke 10:19, I have given you the authority to trample snakes and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Matthew 18, it says, over all the power of the enemy. We have power over all darkness, all demons we see tonight, all flesh, all things that would come against us. We have power over those things. In Matthew 18:18-20, we'll study that in the spring, but it says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, right? We have the authority to bind and to loose things. What about this one? Mark 17, again, these are Jesus' words, not Jeff's words. He says, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hand on sick people and they will get well. And the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, he is taken into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So I'm sure some of those things are kind of uncomfortable, right? A little bit, you're thinking, wow, maybe that's not my story, my life, right? And so tonight, the big idea where I want us to go with all of these things is this. Is in Jesus, we have spiritual authority by faith. And probably you're thinking, and this is where the notes go, is that, you know, Jesus has ultimate authority, and he does, right? We could have gone that direction and said Jesus has the ultimate authority, and actually all three principles I'm going to talk about the authority that Jesus had. But what I want us to hear tonight is that just like the centurion, he's my favorite guy in our story tonight, by the way, just like the centurion who was under authority, just like we are under the authority of Christ, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, we have the authority that he's delegated to us to live this out today. And it comes by faith. Faith is our doctrine this week that we're going to talk about. And it's going to come up, obviously, throughout the whole story. Three divisions tonight. The first 17 verses, authority over diseases. 18-22, authority over the disciples. And 23-34, the authority over all creation, right? And we're going to see tonight that the same Jesus, the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is available and alive in and through us tonight as well. All right, so six scenes, right? Did y'all pick up on that? The first section here, the first division, we have three different scenes. They're all related to healing, right? And to healing over illnesses. So first scene, we have this leper who comes in, right? And obviously we read in Leviticus about lepers and what would have been happening, right? They would have been outside the camp. They would have been alone. They would have not been touched, right? It would have been very lonely existence, right? And somehow he found his way up to Jesus, right? He had these large crowds with him. And I was thinking about that. I think I've told you this, but I like to really try to envision things sometimes. And I was thinking, how did he get in front of Jesus? And I was like, oh yeah, right? He had to yell unclean when he walked in, right? So here he comes yelling unclean. I actually thought about doing this tonight. I thought I would have someone come in from the back and just come in yelling unclean, unclean, and see what everybody did. You know, if we'd kind of like move our chair a little way or something like that. But he is alone, but he has this incredible faith, right? And he bows before Jesus and he says to him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Another way to say that is he said, Jesus, you are able. You can do this. You have the ability. You have the authority. I believe it. I know you can. And he says, will you do this, right? Will you heal me? And I think this is something that, and of course, Jesus says yes, and he touches him. He's not afraid, right? And he's willing to engage and says yes. And so I think this is one of the questions where it comes up. And there's a lot of people in this room and those online and conversations that we've had with people and seen on prayer requests where sometimes God says yes to the prayers, right? When we pray for healing or pray for all kinds of things. But sometimes he says yes, like in this case. And we've seen that. Hopefully you've all seen God say yes to some prayer requests you've had, even instantaneously sometimes. Sometimes he says, no, that's not what I'm going to do, right? And sometimes he says, you know, wait. Yes, I want to do that, but I'm going to do it later down the road, right? And I think sometimes the harder one, I think sometimes is when he says, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to do it in a different way than you want it to be done sometimes, right? And so I think that that's one sometimes where, let me think about Lazarus, right? They're all praying for him to be healed. And they want him to, you know, that would be a great thing that would honor God if he was healed, right? But that's not what Jesus said. I don't want to do it that way. I'm going to let him die. And then I'm going to come and I'm going to resurrect him from the dead, right? And so that's kind of how he answers that sometimes for us. And so whatever you're struggling with or dealing with in prayer right now, specifically around physical healing or other things like that, you know, we don't know what God's answer is going to be, but we're under his authority. And he has the power and he is able. And tonight I'm going to really talk about not forgetting that, because sometimes we get frustrated or we get discouraged because God doesn't heal in the way that we want him to. But he is able to, and let's not forget that. So we're going to keep talking about that. It is interesting. Did you guys know that there are still leper colonies today? Has anybody ever been to a leper colony before? Anybody ever do that? You have? Yeah. So let me compare notes sometimes. I found myself during this little crazy year of my life, I was in India. And I found we were just following people, just going into, doing whatever the Holy Spirit said, really. Just kind of, I was along for the ride and just kind of going. And we found ourselves in a leper colony. And I was just a 20-year-old, didn't really know much. And so, apologize to anybody who's medically trained, but we were just putting our hands on people because we knew they were alone. And we're just praying and laying and praying. And I don't know, I feel like maybe there was healing that happened. We were praying for healing. We were doing all these kind of things. But the whole point of this is, and even so again, there's many stories I'm going to mention tonight that I don't really want to talk about, but God's like, these are my stories. I want you to tell them, to share with you. Because the reality is that we talk about lepers, and it does happen still today physically like this, but there's so many around us who are ill, so many facing alone, isolation, especially after COVID, right? And so many people out there that we need to engage with and reach out to and touch. I mean, you know, whether that's, you know, with a phone call or a physical touch too, but there's so many opportunities that we have to engage today. So second scene, we have the centurion, right? And so the centurion, again, I mentioned already, he's my favorite of this whole passage, the leper too, but he's a Gentile, right? Thank goodness that Jesus opened the door for Gentiles, like most all of us, unless you're born Jewish, to come into the faith, right? But think about this centurion. He's got it right. I mean, he has authority above him. He's got authority under him. And he has, you know, servants as well. And these servants, he has a paralyzed servant. And he goes on behalf of this paralyzed servant. How did this centurion find himself on his knees, you know, bowing down before this homeless man who was doing these crazy miracles, right? And that's exactly where this guy goes. And he has the faith to say, I believe. And he says, not only that, he has this faith. It says in verse 10, Jesus says, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith, right? And Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. And he says, there's many, you have to believe in him. He says, there's many who are born Jewish who aren't going to be in eternity. He says, you have to receive and you have to step into faith. And again, that word faith comes in and he commends the faith of this centurion, right? And so, you know, thinking about how to apply this, you know, it's like, what kind of faith are you, where are you asking and seeking and knocking, going back to what we were talking about last week, for Jesus to do amazing things? Like we talked about believing prayers, combining that with faith and seeing what it is that God might be up to. If I'm honest, I tend to pray much smaller prayers than that. I tend to pray kind of, you know, everyday prayers, and I could tend to kind of, you know, do different things where, you know, I'm afraid of being disappointed, afraid that God might not show up if I pray these big prayers or something, embarrass myself. And so I think that I was thinking about this, and the centurion obviously stepped into this as faith, right? And this huge faith, and is like completely understands authority. But I think the opposite of that is something that we have to be careful of and watch out for. And the opposite isn't anti-faith. It's just like how Satan works, how he comes in subtly into us. And I had a mentor who trained me on this one time, and the word that they used was casualty covenants. And it's a word where you begin to make these covenants and you begin to limit the power of God in your life. What I mean by that is, maybe an example is, I prayed for healing. I knew this person was supposed to be healed. I knew God told me they were going to be physically healed on this earth, and they died, and they went to heaven. And then now, I'm praying for somebody else in the same situation, and I know God is able, and I know he can do this, but I don't really think he's going to do that because he didn't do it over here. And we begin to put up these walls, and be like, I'm going to still pray for you, but I'm not really going to believe that God's going to heal you. Does that make sense? Like, you start to kind of put up this, like, this covenant, and you're just kind of like, you know what? I'm not really going to fully put myself all the way out there. It's like that I've been burned once, right? Don't burn me twice kind of deal. You know, but you're like, but God might be saying, I want you to break down whatever might be holding you back from being able to truly believe that he is capable of the impossible. He's capable. He is able. And we are under his authority. The results are up to him. The Holy Spirit is given to us to go and to do and to have faith. And the results are left up to him, right? But that still causes us sometimes to doubt and to have these covenants, right? So I want to pray God-sized, world-changing prayers of faith led by the Holy Spirit. And on my best days, I do that. But on days that, you know, I struggle and have doubt at times too. So we see this third section here, the third piece. I guess I could have gone to this piece here. The third piece. Anybody ever like Bible trivia? Anybody ever do Bible trivia? I loved it growing up. I kind of grew up in a Bible church and I kind of knew a lot of things. Nobody ever got this question right, all right? But you're going to know it now. Which one of the 12 apostles was married? Peter, right? We saw Peter's mother-in-law, right? Did you know that before this week? Maybe some of you did. That was just for free. I just thought it was kind of fun. I thought that, you know, he comes to his mother-in-law, right? And he heals her. Verse 15, he touched her hand. The fever left. She got up and began to wait on him. And evening came and they were demon-possessed. They drove out spirits with the word. He healed all the sick. And we see that he does these amazing things, right? And so the principle for this section is Jesus has authority over sickness. You could say over all illnesses, over all disease, Jesus has authority, right? And then a couple of questions as you begin to think about this are, how have you seen God's supernatural power over sickness? Think about that. Think about celebrating a time when you prayed and somebody was healed, right? Maybe it wasn't instantaneous. Maybe it was through medical procedures. Maybe it was through, you know, the course of what God did in and through their body to heal them. But think about that, how God may have moved in a supernatural way. Those are if you have one of those stories, those are awesome. How are you currently praying for his supernatural power over sickness? You praying fully in belief, or are you praying with a little hesitation? Something holding you back from being able to do that? So as you think about these people who are in this section this week, maybe you're like the leper. Think about which one of these three you are. Maybe you're like the leper and you need to be healed, or you need faith to ask to be healed, right? That may be where you are. Or maybe you're like the centurion, you want to pray on behalf of someone else. You're really interceding for someone else who's sick or who's dealing with diseases, right? Or maybe you are more like Jesus and you need to walk in the spiritual authority that he's given you, right? A lot of us shy away from that, afraid of stepping and putting yourself out there for whatever reason, right? But he's given us spiritual authority. When the Holy Spirit says, do something, we should do it, right? So let's pray in power and in faith that we'd be willing to step out and do what he calls us to do, okay? All right, let's go to the next section, 18 through 22. So this one's interesting to me because all of a sudden what we have here is in the middle of these three healings, and then in the end we're going to see God's power over all creation and, you know, nature, creation. And then in the middle, though, there's this cost of discipleship issue, right? And I struggled with it. It's kind of like, this kind of seems out of place to me a little bit. But the more that I've studied it this week, it fits exactly what God wants. Because these two men come up and he says, right in verse 19, he says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he says, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And then Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead, right? So however you want to look at this, you guys, we talked about this one of the questions this week. There's all kinds of costs to following Jesus, right? It's going to cost you your reputation. It's going to cost you your hopes, your dreams, cost your plans for your lives at times, your comforts, right? It's also going to cost you relationships. He says that you can't have your family or any other relationships above me, any idols above me, right? If you want to turn in your Bibles over just to chapter 10 for a second, I'm going to read 34 to 39. And next week, Dan is going to talk about these two together. So maybe he'll bring this up again. But it says in verse 34, don't suppose I came to bring peace to the earth. This is Jesus here, right? Jesus, wait, the Prince of Peace? Wait, he didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring in your heart where you have to make a choice for Christ or not. He says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Jesus says, I have a better way. He said, I have unlimited power, full authority, and I show compassion on people, right? Because I want to draw them into relationship with me. And that's exactly what he did with you, and he did with me. However he spoke to you, and whatever the Holy Spirit was drawing, he had compassion on us. He had ultimate authority and power over our lives, right? And he says, I'm not going to throw my pearls to swine, right? Like we talked about last week. I love the honey-baked ham illustration, by the way. He's not going to throw pearls to swine, but what he says is, to be my disciple is going to be costly. And he says that you're going to have to sacrifice in order to do that. You have to daily take up your cross and follow me, right? And he says, you know, the days that I'm miserable when I'm not with him, I'm miserable when I don't. Maybe I go into enjoy just casual things, you know, and I get further away from him and I'm miserable. But the days when I walk in his presence and I walk in his power, those days, it's so different. And I wish I was that way all the time, in this deeper maturity level where I could be with him like that. But what we see is that the principle for the section is that Jesus has authority over his true followers' lives. He has authority. If you are a true follower, he has authority over our lives. He is our commander, right? And we'll talk about this more as we go through Matthew more, but then all these things, the application of that is we submit to him, and then he empowers us more and more every day, the deeper intimate relationship you go with him, to have the power and the authority in relationships and working with other people. It says, when is the time you counted the cost? This is celebration. Sometimes these are like harsh questions. I was like, what's a celebrate one here tonight? What's a time that you counted the cost of following Jesus and laid down your life or your desires for him? I mean, maybe even tonight, right? Maybe your team's playing Monday Night Football tonight, right? Or you wanted to watch some sporting event, but you're here, right? That's a sacrifice, right? Maybe it's getting up in the morning a little earlier before everybody else in the house to spend time with him. Whatever it is, doing your BSF every week. There's times that you do this, and there's times that you do big things, right? He calls you to like jump off the cliff, right? And maybe there's something to celebrate there. So celebrate that with somebody this week. Jesus resisted the shortcut. Remember this from Matthew 4 a few weeks ago when he's tempted out there? And what did he do? Satan said, hey, you can have the whole world. I'll give it all to you. And he's going to get the whole world anyway. But he said, I'm not going to take the shortcut. I'm going to endure the cross. I'm going to go through the suffering in order to get to see beyond the cross and to see the blessing that's there, and to bring us all along with him because of salvation, right? And so he calls us to do the same thing, right? He wants us to lay down our lives and our desires to be more like him. So the last division here, we see two stories. So now the boat, right? They're all on the boat out there. And, you know, I love the fact that Jesus is human, though. I mean, you know, we don't get insight into his daily schedule, you know, but I'm thinking, if you've ever been involved in a ministry thing where you just like pour yourself out, I'm thinking every day he is, you know, healing. He is, helping people, be set free, setting the captives free. He's teaching. He's doing all these things nonstop, right? And the disciples are scared, right? It's going crazy. And I do love, you saw the two things that they said, right? They said in verse 25, Lord, save us. We're going to drown, right? And it's interesting, one of our leaders made a point this weekend, it was like, the first thing was right, and I agree. Like, Lord, save us. That's a great prayer, right? When you need saving, you're in a situation, Lord, save us. But what if the leper had been on the boat? What would the leper have said? He would have said, Lord, save us. I think so. And he said, if you're willing to calm the storm, will you calm the storm, Lord, right? Or what if the centurion had been on the boat and he had said, Lord, save us. He's saying, just speak the word and the waves will calm. But it was the disciples, right? And they said, we're going to drown, right? And unfortunately, we struggle that way too, right? But you see the difference in faith. Faith, faith, not faith, right? In the last one there. And so I think it's one of those things where, we have the power over the weather, and Jesus uses this as a teaching moment to teach on faith. He says, I have power over all things. He's going to talk about the mustard seed and, throwing it to the mountain. And, Jesus is still doing this today. And again, this is one of those stories that I'm like, God, do I have to really tell this? But I do, because he told me to. So I found myself in a situation where I was working with inner city ministry, and we were working with students. And so we were bringing students, we were having this citywide rally, and so we were bringing students in from like apartment complexes, so it was an inner city type of thing. And we were gonna have this rally. It was a little bitty building, and then we had a big open area. We were gonna be outside. Of course, you figure out where this is going. It was pouring down rain. It was gray skies. There was no forecast of anything but just rain, right? And so there were other churches that come in. It was a big event. Churches were coming in to volunteer. They're bringing in their people to come help and do all this. And I found, for whatever reason, I wasn't one of the younger guys, but I was in charge of the whole thing. And so it was kind of like, okay, Jeff, what are we going to do? It was like, And so it was like, let's pray. So we went inside this in the built building and prayed. And God just is one of those times where, you know, the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something. And basically it was just, you know, just jump off, you know? I mean, it was just like, okay, God said he's going to change the weather, and let's pray because he's going to do that, you know? And it was just me literally just going like, okay, God, I'm going to look like an idiot if you don't show up and do this today. And so we prayed, and it was, that was what was going on in my head, right? Outwardly, I was like, God said he's going to change the weather. Let's pray for him to change the weather, and let's just do this and see what happens, you know? And so we prayed, and then the person with the guitar, we're like, okay, what do we do now? And so I was like, well, guitar, rain, not good, but let's just go outside and start worshiping. And so someone was kind of putting a tarp and holding it up and start worshiping. And sure enough, you know where this is going. Began to worship. And right above where the worship leader was worshiping the clouds, there was a little sunlight that started to open up, and it just started to open up a little circle. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And the whole purpose of that, I even tell you that, is not to say that God changed the weather, because I prayed before for the weather to change, and it hasn't. Right? But salvation came to students that were there that day. And God's purposes and his plans, he said, and faith too, for me, faith for the people that were there, hope, maybe even faith for you because of hearing that story, right? He used that as his story, not mine, in order to bring people to faith and people to Christ, right? And so that's what he's still doing that today. And sometimes we forget to pray those big prayers because we're afraid. I want to encourage you to not be afraid to do that. Sixth story, last one, right? We have, I guess I can move it to the just 23 through 34 here. The two demon-possessed men, right? So I'm kind of fascinated by these guys because first of all, they came up to Jesus, right? And then they're like, they called him, right? They said to him, Son of God. And then they said, you know, you're going to torture us, right? They knew who he was. They acknowledged him as the Son of God. He was God. Right? And I read that the torturing piece as Revelation chapter 20, right? The lake of fire, when he says that you're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. They know that that's happening. They know they don't have authority over Jesus. Translation for us, we have authority as well. The demons know at the end that they're going to be tormented and they don't have authority, but they pretend like they do, right? And we're not talking about theology of demons, so for some of y'all are nervous, right? But we're not going to talk about that now. But if you are in that situation or you have somebody in that, you've dealt with that, I would love to talk to you about that. So just open that up if that's a conversation you want to have at some point. But the whole point is that in this end of this piece is that the town hears the word. These people are set free, but the townspeople miss that, right? They rejected the narrow gate. Right? They gave into their fears. Maybe it was economic fears. Maybe it was fear of the unknown or, you know, this crazy radical Jesus person, right? But we see what happened is that Jesus had the supernatural power over demons. And we have that as believers as well. We have power over darkness. We have power of our flesh. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how we had salvation from the power of sin in our lives. We have power over our temptations and our flesh, right? And so I can't lie to you and tell you this, but again, as you would expect, probably at this point, I have been involved in multiple exorcisms in my life. And I don't tell you this to say, I want to talk about what happened in the middle of the exorcism, but I want to tell you to say that it's happening today. And I will gladly tell you about the people that have been set free because that's the purpose. I've seen the people that were bound, oppressed, possessed, depending on the situation, and I've seen them set free. And seeing somebody who's been set free from that, actually one of these particular people was a huge turner in why I've been standing here today. A testimony of my life had to do with this one person. And God uses that to set people free. And see, what happened with the townspeople is they missed this, right? They missed that it was all about the people being set free. And that's why God has given us the power and authority for salvation, for people to be set free, for people to go and run towards him, right? So last principle here we have is Jesus has authority over all creation, right? Whatever is created, demons are created beings, nature's created. Any creation, Jesus has authority over. So what might happen if you prayed God-sized prayers asking for his supernatural power in a challenging situation you're facing? What might happen if you were to pray God-sized prayers, right? It's a challenge for all of us to think about that. As you're writing that down, I want to end with just a story. This weekend, my wife and I were driving to the airport to pick up my daughter, and this song came on the radio. She's like, I've heard this so many times this week. She's in BSF. She's like, this song fits exactly with what we're studying this week. And I was like, well, what is it? She's like, Too Good Not to Not Believe. And as I was thinking about this, I listen to most of my listening is to worship music when I'm in the car or alone. And I'm finding that I'm hearing the word miracles in all these songs. I'm hearing the word healing. I'm hearing wonders. I'm hearing these things. I think something's happening in our day and age and generation that's stirring up a lot of these things. But just going to read a couple of these things to you, because I think a lot of us have come to the point where we're like, okay, well, again, this happened in Jesus' day. But guys, we have the authority over creation just like because the Holy Spirit lives in and through us, right? And so the song is just a few of the lyrics. It says, I've seen your power. I've seen you heal. I've lived stories that have proved your faithfulness. I've seen miracles my mind can't comprehend. There's beauty in what I can't understand. Jesus, it's you. It's all about you. I believe you're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, they're too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God. You heal because you love. Oh, the miracles we see, you're too good to not believe. I can't resurrect a man with my own hands, but just the mention of your name can raise the dead. So all the glory to the one who can. Jesus, it's you. It's you. I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen metal plates dissolve. Don't tell me he can't do it. I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't tell me he can't do it. Because I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. Don't tell me he can't do it. And so the big idea again is that in Jesus, we have spiritual authority by faith. And I want to challenge you, when I read that, some of y'all are like, yeah, but he didn't show up in the situation and that person died, or yeah, but Jeff, but, right? We all have those situations. And the challenge that I have for you, that he's challenged me with this week, is he is the one in charge. We are like the centurion under his authority. We don't know what his answer is going to be when we pray, but when the Holy Spirit prompts us to pray in a certain direction, we should be praying. And maybe the healing from cancer, there's so many in our group who are struggling with cancer right now. Maybe it means living longer, or maybe it means the healing is when you get to heaven. We don't know the answer to that, but we're still going to pray, and we're still going to believe. Don't ever stop believing and praying God-sized prayers. All right, let's pray. Father Jesus, thank you for modeling on this earth. Thank you for loving us and coming down and teaching us. God, I pray that you would give us God-sized dreams, God-sized visions, God-sized words and prayers as we seek to follow you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed. We will see you in 2 weeks, right? Not next week. 2 weeks. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. That's very good.